As we check in with the original hot seater every week, it is Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, Doug Schweitzer. And Doug, spring is in the air. I don't know about you, but I could hear him from either Dunedin or Arizona, some cracking of bats and, you know, those seven-inning games. Doesn't that usually mean that, like, the snow's going to be gone in 3 weeks?
You know what? Whenever spring training starts, that's usually my countdown for the end of winter. So I'm just looking forward to watching a little bit of summer on the TV every now and again, and you know, seeing the highlights of people playing baseball, it's encouraging. And, yeah, usually that's my countdown for the end of winter.
No doubt about it. And I think even here is at around the Peace region right now, where it's supposed to be in some areas tonight in the minus 30s, but that depends where you are. So I guess, Minister, as we know, last week the budget came out, obviously a lot focused on COVID spending, healthcare spending. And but in terms of the Ministry for Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, what are some of the things coming up in the budget that you're particularly excited about?
Well, the things that are really exciting for us is just the opportunity to get people working again and the diversification efforts that we're putting forward. So we all know that we have a strong energy sector, even though it's been a tough 4 or 5 years. We still have a strong foundation to build on in energy, and we're looking for every opportunity to build on it. So from tourism, how do we build on tourism across our province? We think there's huge growth potential over the next 10 years to grow our tourism industry. Perfect example would be the outdoors, and how do you have that outdoor life for the north in particular? There's people from Europe that would love to come and explore, you know, the outdoors and what we have to offer, as well as indigenous culture. The people, when they come here from Europe, they want to experience indigenous culture. So we think there's huge growth potential to partner with indigenous communities, as well as just with the great outdoors that we have here in our province, for a huge growth opportunity in tourism. The other side of it as well, like you and I have talked about this many times, is in the tech industry, tech space.
Oh, yeah.
There's huge green shoots in Alberta in the tech industry. So there's further funding there to help stimulate and grow that part of our economy. So we're just looking for every way that we're going. And plus, historic levels of infrastructure investment, because the best way to make sure you can attract people to manufacture products and goods in your jurisdiction is by having, you know, amazing roads and amazing interchanges and all that different infrastructure you need for job creation.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And a couple of items that are being announced in there, the Tompkins Toll Road Bridge over the Peace River in the Lacrede area also as well. A maternity ward and a community clinic for Lacrede as well, but at least in terms of jobs, I know this is something that people turned about, and you and I talked about this in terms of the talent pool in Alberta, that, you know, most of these young tech startups, they want to hire within Alberta if they can, and I guess the talent pool or something like that. Do you see an opportunity here to maybe put some of these tech initiatives, tech ideas, or tech teachings like artificial intelligence, maybe even one day in our grade school where people could learn these skills, and in that way, when somebody wants to hire somebody on the local level, they could say, oh, I'm going to hire that guy who's working in Peace River, or that person who's working in High Prairie. Like, is there an opportunity here to bring that into our classrooms, you think?
There really is an opportunity to continue to have advances in our classroom. Like I think you and I have talked about before, but there's so many amazing educational apps that are out there now that are all based off of algorithms to help kids learn different things. If they're struggling in a particular area, they know how to help them focus and get the skill set that they needed. But yeah, the advancements in education are going leaps and bounds. Even companies now, like, they know that they need to invest in training for their young people and for people that have different skill sets, so that they have that workforce that they need 5 years from now. So they're investing in these different platforms to educate people in real time while they're employed, and people that are unemployed, help giving them that new skill set in a shorter amount of time. So not everybody needs to go back and get another 4 year of degree. Sometimes it's a matter of 6 weeks, 8 weeks of new skills, because they're really smart. And say that they're a geologist or they have an engineering degree, that's a smart person. And if they're looking for a new opportunity, how do you make it as short a turnaround time as possible for them to get back into the workplace? And that's why we brought in the Jobs Now program. So we brought in over $130 million investment into Jobs Now. Details to come soon on that program. It's an exciting new program that's going to help alleviate the pressure to help train Albertans and get them back into the workforce.
So obviously, I'm going to guess something that said that obviously with these tech startups, we've talked about it quite a few times, the amount of tech capital in Calgary looks like already Calgary, and even now Edmonton is actually starting to get in there as well. And Edmonton, of course, a little bit closer to the Peace region in terms of that. So I guess it's kind of got to be exciting for you as a minister to see that, like, okay, Calgary's done this, and Edmonton's kind of been like, at least in the last couple of months, hey, don't forget about us.
Yeah, it's amazing to see the growth happening across the province. And we're also working with Minister Glubish on rural broadband. So for people in the Peace Country, we've heard loud and clear that access to high-speed internet is critical because people can work where they want to work. There's certain big companies like Shopify, which is one of the biggest, you know, value or highest value Canadian companies right now. They're letting people work where they want to work. So if somebody wants to live in the Peace Country and they're an amazing asset to companies like that, they're going to let them live there so people can live where they want to live. So we've heard loud and clear that high-speed rural internet is critical. So that's another important file for us as part of the recovery plan.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And obviously you and Minister Gloubish working closely together on that. And just looking at the mailbag, but actually that was that one question which we asked about bringing those training opportunities into our classrooms. There's obviously an opportunity to do that there. And I have to ask this. I know I've asked this twice, but I'm going to ask it a third time. Have they let you on the Fraggle Rock site yet?
No, I haven't been on the Fraggle Rock site yet. The COVID protocols, they have to keep it really tight. Hopefully we can get enough vaccine out there soon so that we can start loosening things up. So hopefully I can get on there before that project's done.
And let's face it, you know what? I know some people have been complaining, and I know some people like to make the vaccine rollout a partisan issue from time to time. And I guess the interesting thing on that is that I like to do comparison shopping. So as I look into it now, If my father had lived in Alberta, he would have been able to start last week. He can officially start tomorrow in Quebec, and I think you were mentioning your dad, who's who's above 80, just able to start now in BC. So really, in terms of that, of course, personally, I'm sure we'd both like our dads to be inoculated as soon as possible, but at least in terms of provincial progress, Alberta's done very well, at least on a per capita basis, haven't they?
Yeah, and we recognize that the initial day of registrations, there was a huge volume. I think there was something over a million phone calls that went in to try and get to try and get registered. So, you know what? We've learned lessons from it. It's an improved system now. We've had over half of the people over 75 that were eligible have already registered for to get their vaccination. We're also opening it up to pharmacies, so there's going to be more pharmacies that are going to be available to help administer the vaccine. So we're really starting to ramp up those efforts. We've also, Health Canada approved the third vaccine available to Canadians, AstraZeneca's vaccine, so now we have three. And we're also anticipating that there's likely going to be a fourth vaccine by Johnson & Johnson approved in the next week or two. So that'll give us four vaccines. So we're really starting to see a ramp up of vaccine availability. And you'll see more and more news about the timing and different stages for people to be eligible, but it's an encouraging sign that there's now stability in the supply chain for vaccinations.
All right, and speaking of that, and I guess we'll get this before getting back into the baseball, Jeff, who sent in a question, wants to know, hey, Minister, it seems like we're at the disposal of other countries when it comes to vaccine distribution. Doesn't it make more sense to have a pharmaceutical industry right here in Canada, hopefully Alberta? Interesting.
You know, that's a really good point, and I'm actually in conversations right now with the federal government and other provinces about long-term strategies for national security when it comes to health. We have national security for food. We need to have national security from a military perspective. And this is driven home to us, this pandemic, the need to make sure that we can keep people in our own country healthy. So we are working on strategies right now, and the Premier's involved in this as well, to make sure that we can keep everyone healthy. Because I do think this has opened our eyes to the need to make sure you have domestic production. So we're exploring that option right now. So hopefully we can have some more details to come.
So hopefully that means at some point around like either December or January, then that means you and I hopefully would have received our shots by then, and then we're clear to go to either Florida or California to let everybody know what's happening up at the baseball winter meetings.
You know what? I'm in for winter meetings. Hopefully we can travel by then. That would be nice.
That's what I'd say. Exactly. Without having to quarantine in the hotel.
You know what? It would be great. And that's the thing, too. And again, I always kind of reiterate this point of how grateful we are to Albertans, like the small businesses that have made sacrifices throughout all this, all the Albertans that, you know, they want to get together with their loved ones, but they're not because they respect the health orders. You know what? We say thank you. We're almost through this. The vaccines are coming quickly. So, you know, we're almost right at the end of the tunnel. So just thank you to everybody for their patience.
All right, and fair enough. And Doug, we usually get into the topics of the NL West. You know what? We've been talking about LA and San Diego, and justifiably so. However, Arizona, San Francisco, are they in for some pretty lean times this year? Do you think that either one of those teams could actually make some noise? I'm not really sure about San Francisco, but Arizona, maybe.
You know what? I don't see it in the cards for them this year. I really don't. It's going to be San Diego. It's going to be San Diego and the Dodgers, the Padres and Dodgers, for the next couple of years at least in that division.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And, you know, a couple of young arms all got out there for the Jays over the weekend. I haven't had a chance to see much of it, but a lot of people are raving about young Vladdy, apparently, how he's showing up in camp, apparently close to 50 pounds lighter, and now, because of his physical exercise, not as a regular, but he's re-entered the conversation to play some third base if somebody needs a day off, whereas I think at the end of the season, that talk would have been hyperbole.
Well, you know what? I mean, this guy is a professional athlete, and he admitted that he came in about 40 or 50 pounds overweight for camp last year. He kind of apologized to his teammates that he said he didn't do the work, and I'm glad that he's put that work in this year. Hopefully, he finally realizes that talent. I mean, this is, you know, you and I talked about this before. I mean, yeah. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he was in the minor leagues, was ranked ahead of people like Ronald Acuna and Fernando Tatis and some of these big, big stars in the game right now. So he's only 22. Hopefully he has a big, big year this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Minister, we always appreciate you taking the time to check in with us. All the best. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
This is Minister Doug Schweitzer. He is the Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, as well as our baseball analyst, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.